Relax. Don't let marketing your MSP become a major stress problem. Breathe out your worries and concerns. Breathe in a load of this guy.
It is a pure delight to have your company again, and I've got a packed show for you this week. Here's what's coming up. Why it's so important in your marketing to get the right message in front of the right person at the right time. Tell me, do you employ any sales prevention officers? And my guest expert this week talks about how to improve client retention through better communications. Welcome to episode 252.
Powered by MSPMarketingEdge.com. Paul Green's MSP Marketing Podcast.
There's a reason that getting new clients for your MSP takes so long. It's because of what's happening to the ordinary business owners and managers that you are trying to reach. And when you understand what's going on in their heads and their hearts, you can figure out why they're so slow switching from one MSP to another. Let's talk about the importance of getting the right message in front of the right person at the right time. Now, one of the most critical marketing skills that you can develop is the ability to look at your MSP and what you sell from the point of view of the people that you are trying to sell it to. Or put another way, if you can get in their heads and their hearts, you can better understand what's driving them to make a decision, or maybe more importantly, what's holding them back from making a decision. The best phrase that I ever heard to describe this is, to influence what John Smith buys, you must see through John Smith's eyes. And when you really look at why a business owner or manager switches from one MSP to another, you suddenly get a startling insight into why switching MSPs is a distress activity for most people. You see, they don't really understand technology at all. In fact, compared to you, they are literally the other end of the scale. You have such in-depth tech knowledge and abilities, and that makes you an incredibly talented technology person, right? But the client you're selling to, well, they're more like me, because I'm not a tech, I never have been. That, by the way, means it's easy for me to represent the ordinary people that you sell to. And sure, I understand a bit about technology and I love it. And actually, I probably know a lot more about technology these days because, of course, I've been working with MSPs for 8 years. But I can't set up a server, I can't configure a cloud service, and I bet you a rather large amount of money that I'd be the guy that would get the setting wrong and I would take down the entire business. So please, no one ever give me the settings of anything important, I beg you. Anyway, because they don't understand technology, but they do know it's incredibly important, they are less willing to muck about with it. So something major has to change at their incumbent MSP for them to want to switch to someone new. And we do see this, don't we? We see small businesses being sold and kind of merged into super MSPs, and maybe customer service goes down and maybe prices go up and the dissatisfaction creeps in very, very slowly for the clients. But there does inevitably come a day where the client wakes up and thinks, I'm not happy with my MSP anymore and it's time to change. Or they feel that they have outgrown their MSP, or there's just change. Change in their business or your business is often what drives people to pick a new MSP. So your marketing challenge then is to consistently get the right message in front of the right people at the right time. And that should be your core marketing driver. It's why I'm always recommending, both in this podcast, or here on YouTube, and across everything I do, both for my MSP Marketing Edge members and just all MSPs out there, I recommend that you have a very easy but powerful three-step lead generation strategy. You build multiple audiences of people to listen to you, you grow your relationship with them using content marketing, and then you convert the relationship, normally by sending out marketing campaigns and getting people on the phone and just chatting to them about their business. Now, you chose to start a business in the most wonderful sector in the world, but it is cursed by very, very slow sales, because someone will stay with an MSP that they're unhappy with for a number of years until that day comes when it's time to switch. That day, when they're ready to switch, that day is perfect for you to get your marketing message in front of them. Now, based on what I've just said here, this is why your MSP needs a marketing machine. Not just a set of random marketing activities that happen now and again when someone remembers, but a machine where marketing happens on a daily, weekly, and monthly basis. And that's the only way that you can truly drive new business into your MSP in a systematic way.
Paul Green's MSP Marketing Podcast, still to come.
Did you know that the way you communicate to your existing clients can either strengthen your bond with them or even damage it? My guest expert today will tell you how to prevent communication mistakes that damage client retention. And that's coming up in the next 5 minutes. If I was a client of your MSP and I was on the phone with one of your technicians, telling them about a common frustration that I'm having, it's actually something they could help with, but it would involve me spending money. I'd have to upgrade something or buy some new software or something. In that situation, would they suggest that solution to me? Or would they not? Because like many technicians, they don't ever want to be seen as doing any kind of sales. They don't want to be seen as a salesperson, despite the fact that selling me this software or this service would make my life better. Would that happen in your MSP? I'm asking this because I am wondering if in your business, you employ any sales prevention officers. Let's find out. Hey, I'm Paul Green, and don't forget for all of the content, tools, and training to market and grow your MSP, check out mspmarketingedge.com. An extraordinary event happened to me a few years back, and it was before I upgraded to an EV, to a Tesla. So my car was low on diesel, and I popped into my local petrol station on the way home. Now, the woman behind the counter was acting in the most peculiar way. "You're the last customer," she practically spat at me, and she was actually pointing at me with her finger. "And then I need to shut the forecourt and stop selling petrol." "Well, what's going on?" I asked, because perhaps there'd been a big fuel spillage or an accident of some kind. And I couldn't believe her answer. "I've run out of till rolls," she replied. It was such a bizarre answer that I didn't understand at first. So I said, "Sorry, you're shutting the whole petrol station because you've run out of till rolls, you know, the little receipt thing that comes out of the till." "It's the law," she screamed at me, something to do with having to give a receipt to someone when you sell them something, some bizarre UK law. But by this time, there were other drivers standing at the pumps. They've got the nozzle in their car. They're waiting for her to press the button to authorise the fuel. And she's tapping at the window, waving at them, pulling her finger across the neck, you know, like in a classic dead motion. And I tried to help her out. And I said to her, "Look, even if the law says you can't sell fuel without a receipt, you could always do handwritten receipts for those who want them, because most people probably aren't bothered." "That's what I suggested. They just want fuel," I said to her. But she was having none of it. And once I paid, she went outside to cone off the entrance to the petrol station. I mean, the whole thing was completely shut down. It was a nightmare. This woman was the most successful sales prevention officer that I'd ever met. And I have met quite a few, as you probably have as well. She took a small detail of her job, quite literally, and rather than work flexibly around it, decided it would just be easier to shut the whole business down for a few hours. Can you imagine how incandescent with rage her boss would have been when he found out? Now, I bumped into another sales prevention officer a few weeks ago. I was taking a long walk around one of the lovely lakes near where I live in Milton Keynes here in the UK. And it's a habit of mine to pick up a takeaway coffee from a pub on the lake. It's always busy with a flurry of walkers doing the same thing on a Sunday morning. This week, though, as soon as I walked through the doors, a bored-looking girl shouted, "No coffee, we ain't got no takeaway cups," and then looked down at her Instagram again. I kid you not, this is exactly what happened. And her attitude and that welcome pretty much shut down the alternative of staying in for a coffee or maybe even having breakfast as a treat. And I'm sure by this point she was sick of having to tell walkers there were no coffee cups. To her, this was hassle, whereas you and I would see this as an opportunity. So here's a scary question for you. How do the sales prevention officers act in your MSP? Because what makes sales prevention officers terrifying is they think they're doing the right thing. It's rarely malicious. It's just having the wrong thinking and the wrong behavior. Here are some ways it may be happening in your business. Maybe when a first line tech is talking to a client who wants an extra service, maybe they say to them, "Oh, you don't really need that." Which of course damages your relationship with the client, because when someone wants something, they will just go elsewhere to get it. Maybe your help desk team only offers basic versions of NewKit or services based on the absurd idea of saving the client money. Maybe when a potential new client phones in to talk to someone, that call or message doesn't receive urgent prioritization above all other activity because it doesn't happen very often. What else happens in your MSP? And it probably happens without you being fully aware. And the way to get around sales prevention officers is to systemize all aspects of sales, both for new clients and upselling existing clients. For example, if you have three versions of a package or a service, so like a good choice, a better choice, and a best choice, this allows the client to pick the option that's best for them. And sales prevention officers can't screw that up for you so long as they offer all three versions in every single opportunity. If you have annual strategic reviews, you can create an opportunity to tell the client what else you can do to make their lives easier. Some will choose to buy it and some won't. Oh, and by the way, if you think you really don't have a sales prevention officer somewhere in your business, I'm sorry, but you're probably wrong. In fact, sometimes, you know who the worst offender can be? I'm pointing a finger at you, Mr. or Mrs. Business Owner, because business owners like you and me, we have no accountability. It means that sometimes we act in ways that we just wouldn't accept from our staff.
Paul Green's MSP Marketing Podcast, still to come.
If you're already working 60 hours a week and you still have no time to focus on working on your business rather than in it, and of course getting lots of marketing done, then maybe you need a virtual assistant to just ease the pressure on you. It's really easy to hire one, and I'll tell you how to do that in the next 5 minutes. Of course, good marketing isn't just about winning new clients. It's also about making sure that you're doing everything you can to retain your existing clients. And one area that many MSPs ignore is how they communicate with their clients. My guest today is an expert at improving and increasing client retention through really simple communications, the kind that all your technicians can do. Today's interview is about the common service mistakes that can damage long-term client retention and how to stop them from happening in your MSP.
Hi, I'm Michelle Coombs from the Tech Leader Network, and I work with MSPs to improve their operational efficiency.
And thank you so much for joining me on the show, Michelle, because we're going to talk about ways that MSPs inadvertently, accidentally damage client retention, customer retention with their operations. It's something that happens really easily. You see it all the time, and we are going to explore that and hopefully improve retention for lots of our listeners and lots of people watching this on YouTube. So tell us a little bit about you. How long have you been working with MSPs? What's your background? And what fun do you have on a day-to-day basis?
Oh, crikey. Good question, Paul. So my background has been IT for 25 years, either in-house IT, heading up their departments, managing those MSP contracts, the relationships, the performance, or on the MSP side, heading up service, delivery and operations, heading up some big teams, 70-odd people, 24/7 ops, handling tens of thousands of tickets a month.
And what made you jump into working with MSPs to actually help them with their operations?
It seemed a natural progression. It was when I first started out working for myself, as it were, and I was looking for a way that I could make a difference for people and almost paying back what I'd learned over the years to help those that were coming into the role. And at first I was thinking it was more around the leadership aspect, but actually service ops is where my heart is. And I thought, how can I make this easier for people and help people improve what they do on a day-to-day basis? And it's something I really enjoy, is getting to the bottom and doing that root cause analysis of what's going wrong in a service and finding ways to improve it.
Oh, and I can imagine that's just fun, because your very nature of what you do is, you know, helping MSPs just improve essentially the quality of the service and the quality of the product they're offering. And as we all know, it's so much easier to look at something that someone else is doing than to look at what you're doing yourself. So I imagine a lot of the people you work with, that they the faults are, or the problems and the issues are right there in front of them. It's just they can't see them, can't see the woods for the trees, to use a cliche for that. So let's talk about how with your operations you can inadvertently push your clients away and damage that all-important bond with them. What are some of the most common mistakes that you see MSPs making?
If I was to pick three, the first, it would be the communications, the level of communications that go out, and treating people as you expect to be treated yourself. The second would be not following through on what you say you're going to do. And the third would be not acting on feedback that you've been given by your customers.
Okay, so let's look at each of those, and we'll start with the communications one. So just so we're both talking about the same thing, we're talking about an MSP who's got a client, they're in a monthly contract, they're monthly recurring revenue clients, and presumably they've been a client for some time. What kind of communication issues do you see? Are you talking about sort of mass communications of change, or are you talking about literally technician to user communication, or is it that and everything?
All. So it can be all the way down from, we've got things like your service desk technicians that are just not communicating in a timely manner, or putting statements like it's done or resolved or something in the text and sending that to a customer, not paying attention to the way that communication can be received. Or it could be the hiding behind a keyboard when actually picking up the phone would be a better option. That's a big one, actually, not picking up the phone and just hiding behind the keyboard. But it can also be from, like, the service desk managers and the service delivery managers' point of view, where they're facing complaints and they also don't want to acknowledge it head on because they feel like they're going to get a bit of a kick in. And rather than just approach it and take it as a fact-finding mission, as a it's not personal kind of basis, they can't proceed without gathering that information, but they avoid it at all costs because they just don't like the outcome that they're going to get, or the feeling that they're going to get when they get that kick in.
And that's human nature, of course, because you'd have to be some kind of masochist to put yourself deliberately in for a kicking. Where you've got a specific issue, let's take the one where the technician doesn't pick up the phone. It would be easy to just pick up the phone and call the user and talk to them, but the technician doesn't. Do you tend to find that's a problem across the entire business? So would you find almost like it's the culture of the business and no one picks up the phone, maybe because the owner doesn't like picking up the phone, or is it more likely to be just one or two techs that have that issue?
It's interesting because as soon as you were starting to say that point, I was thinking it would depend on the MSP themselves and what the culture of that MSP is. So you usually find it's an all or nothing. You will get some people, though, where they have transitioned or moved from one MSP to another as a technician, and they'll have a very different way of working, but they'll soon embed themselves in that new way. And whatever the behaviour is in that MSP will be how they start to behave.
Yes, absolutely. And you can almost imagine like a new technician joining an MSP. It's their first day, they're halfway through, and they're typing something to the user and thinking, I'm just going to pick up the phone, it'll be easier. And they go to pick up the phone and someone says to them, what are you doing? We don't phone people here. That's not what we do. And I think we as owners, we forget how much we set the culture of the business just by our action or our inaction. Let's look at the second of those things that you mentioned. And second of those was failing to follow through on what it is that you said that you would do. Can you give us an example of an MSP, and obviously don't name them, but an example of how that would manifest in an MSP?
Yes, it'll be something along the lines of saying, customer, I will deal with that by tomorrow. And then, as you know, working in an MSP, something hits the fan and you don't get round to doing it tomorrow. So it's about setting those realistic expectations and saying, actually, customer, I will ring you by the end of the week, so in 5 days' time, and I'll have an update for you. Because if you go sooner than that, or you deliver sooner on that response, then it's a bit of a bonus, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we all talk, don't we, about under-promising and over-delivering, and I think it's more about setting really clear expectations. And I guess, and it'd be interesting to hear what your thoughts are on when you've got someone who's on the phone or has submitted a ticket and it's actually a low-priority item. Let's say it's, my printer doesn't work, I'm not the owner, it's a low-level thing, it's not affecting everyone, it's just me. So you and I know that that's a very low-level ticket, and on a very busy day, it might be some time before someone gets round to that. And yet to that person who's got that problem, they can't work, right? That's the highest level of problem that they've got right now. How do you normally advise service desk managers and technicians to manage situations like that in terms of setting expectations?
Within SLA. So it would be a case of, first I'd be looking for that workaround. So it'd be like saying, have you got any other printers that you can print to? If they have, they can put a workaround in place and they'll be fine. If not, it'd be a case of, right, just bear with me, we'll need to investigate this and I can expect to get back to you within X time. That's how I would handle that one.
Yeah, and I put you on the spot there, didn't I? You had to go straight back to your service desk days.
I did. You could see me thinking about what would I do?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And
exactly.
How would I want? It was more about how I would want my teams to respond, because, like you say, it's a burning issue for that client at the time. And the thing is that client or that customer is going to be potentially not in a very good place when they ring. So you need to empathise. You really need to listen to what they're saying and empathise and put yourself in those shoes and let your customer know that you understand that it's a big issue for them and that you are going to deal with it. And you just need to get them to trust in you that you are going to do what you say you're going to.
Yeah, absolutely. That word trust is absolutely key. And it's so easy to forget, again, when you're just doing this day in, day out, year in, year out, that of every single ticket, every single call that a technician has with a user or with a client or whoever it is, you've got to be building some trust. And that is done through expectation setting and through empathy. That's some great advice there. Just remind us, Michelle, what was the third and final most common problem that you saw within MSPs?
Not acting on customer feedback.
Okay, and again, give us an example. How does this problem typically manifest itself?
It would be the customer provides some feedback in terms of as part of a meeting. So you've got some kind of delivery review. It could be through a QBR, TBR, service delivery review, whatever you title them. And the customer will give you some feedback that they're not happy with something. Account manager will give them the nod of the head, yes, I've got it. They'll take it away, they'll mention it, but nothing ever changes because the ball's rolling, like everything else is cracking on. They don't have time to sit there and go, right, what's the root cause of this issue and how can we prevent it from happening again to stop this annoying this customer?
Which, of course, would be incredibly frustrating. So, Michelle, you obviously have built an entire business that's helping MSPs to avoid these kind of problems. Is it when you work with MSPs, do you go in and work at a cultural level or is it very much, at leadership level and also down with technicians as well?
It's that final section. So, you know, every MSP talks about people, process, technology. For me, it's missing two pillars, which are leadership and customer. So looking at the drive and the direction that you're going in and making sure the MSP gets its objectives covered. And then the customer side is making sure that the customer satisfaction is there and that you can retain your customers for the long haul. So I work across all of those five pillars.
Fantastic. And tell us a little bit more about your business and how anyone can get in touch with you.
Good question. So in terms of getting in touch, the easiest option is either to go to the website, which is www.thetechleader.net, or you can just reach out to me on LinkedIn/Michelle-Coombs.
Paul Green's MSP Marketing Podcast, Paul's personal peer group.
So you must have tons of questions about how to improve the marketing in your MSP. And I will tell you in a second how you can submit your question to me. But first, producer James, what have we got this week?
This week, Paul, Alec, who has an MSP in Nashville, admits that he does have a ton of questions. But the one question that is burning the most is this. I'm so busy and have heard people say that a virtual assistant would help do admin and things for me. But how do I hire one that I can trust?
Yeah, virtual assistants or VAs are amazing because in the spirit of you as the business owner should only do what only you can do, they represent a really easy way to get low-level jobs done and done well so that you can focus on the difficult things. Now, most VAs work on an hourly basis, flexibly from home, and it's important to find someone that you get on well with. Oh, and also look after them as well as any member of your team. I have monthly Zooms with my VAs and sometimes send them gifts in the post whenever I do the same for my core team. Now, there are three primary ways to get a VA. The first of them is to hire a friend or a friend of a friend. My advice is to not even go there because you could get locked into working with someone you don't fire for the sake of offending someone else. So the second way, and the one that I suggest you do, is to hire a work-alone freelancer. Now, you'll pay less for this person and they'll look after you really well. But unless you are the dominant source of income for them, they will be distracted by the need to look for other clients and, of course, service those other clients as well. And there's also no backup plan if they take holidays, vacations, or become ill. And so your third option is to hire a VA through an agency. Now, a good agency will have hundreds of highly vetted VAs on its books, and they'll take the time to match you up properly. So to find you a VA or VAs, plural, with the specific skill sets that you're looking for. Plus, of course, they can cover holidays or add more people as you need them. The other upside is if the match isn't quite right, they will have the awkward conversation for you. Plus, the VAs aren't distracted by the need to find more work. That just sort of turns up from the agency. The big downside is the price and relationship. You will be paying more as the agency takes its cut, and it is a little bit harder to form a good solid relationship with a VA through an agency. Now, if you've got a question about anything in your MSP that you'd like some help with, just go to the contact page at mspmarketingedge.com. And while you're there, if you'd love to attract new, better clients into your MSP, you just have to get our content marketing system. It's trusted by over 700 fellow MSPs around the world, and you can check if your area is still available right now at mspmarketingedge.com.
Coming up next week.
Thank you so much for listening this week. Next week, we're talking about looking after yourself as a business owner, because you're in this for the long haul, right? In fact, we'll discuss how you can't run a marathon carrying an anchor.
For MSPs around the world, the MSP Marketing Podcast with Paul Green.